guys have done an awesome job this morning. These guys have been here since just after 8 this morning, getting themselves organised. I've done this twice now, so really great effort. Team, you guys deserve to like go and have a coffee or something now, I think, you know. Well done. All right. Rob's away for a few weeks. And during those few weeks while he's away, we're going to explore this topic of contagious Christianity. Now, I think probably we're all really aware these days of what it means to be contagious, right? I mean, COVID has taken care of that. So even sort of like 4 and 5 year olds know what it means to be contagious because we're all about it and making sure we're not, you know, social distancing and masks and gloves and all that stuff. So everybody knows what it means to be contagious. Question is, for Christians, being contagious, what is it? It has to do with sharing our faith.
I'm just going upstairs.
And that leads to the inevitable word evangelism, which, I don't know about you, but for me carries a whole bunch of really negative connotations and a whole range of guilt that goes with it, because I've heard a whole lot of people who have stood in the kind of place that I'm standing now, and they've talked about how we should do this stuff, and left me feeling really fearful that I'm not doing what they said, and really guilty that I'm not doing it. Fearful because I don't really want to do the kinds of things that they were talking about. You know, this kind of evangelism, you know what I'm talking about, right? The guy here on the left, he's standing, oh, on the right. Your left. I got it. The guy here on your left, he's standing on the street corner, and in one hand he's got a Bible, and he's gesturing with the other hand, and you can just about hear him, right? Shouting at people about the message of the gospel, and pretty soon he's going to raise that Bible up and he's going to kind of, you know, sort of wave it at people. These guys on the right, they're not shouting at anybody. Well, at least they're not audibly shouting at anybody, but they've got these boards that they're wearing, which are all in capital letters, so in fact, actually, visually, they are shouting at me. And I don't know about you, but I don't respond real good to being shouted at. And I certainly just don't respond really well to being called the great whore. Because I'm assuming that's what he's saying, the judgment of the great whore. I'm assuming that means me, because why else would he be wearing it? There's a little note down the bottom there for the quote from Revelation, but do you know what? We have no option but to love these guys because they're our brothers in Christ, but I think they're doing us a real disservice. Because, you know, I don't think anybody was positively influenced for the gospel or brought closer in their relationship to Jesus Christ by somebody shouting at them. Honestly, I mean, would you? It wouldn't do it for me. So what does it actually mean to be contagious in a really helpful sense? Let's start with the scripture. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Now, you know what? Right at that point, why did he say, "Peace be with you" right then? Because I don't know about you, but I'd be freaking out right about now. Here's this guy. I've seen him hanging on a Roman cross, crucified and dead and buried and stuck in a tomb just a few days ago. The doors are locked so nobody can get in, and then he's there. So, I mean, you, but I'm going to be feeling a little bit freaked out at this point. So he says, "Peace be with you," which is kind of a really good thing. It's like, oof, okay. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. It actually is me. And the disciples were in joy when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone, if you forgive the sins of anyone, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, we could spend a very large amount of time on those last couple of sentences. We're not going to do that, because I think they're a kind of interesting bit. But we're going to focus on as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So, if that's the case, we've got to figure out just what it was that Jesus did, because we have to assume that he did what the Father sent him to do, and therefore, if he's sending us in exactly the same way, we should be doing exactly the same things. And as I looked at the scriptures and examined the Gospels to see what it was he did, it became really clear to me that Jesus' driving mission was about bringing people into relationship with the Father. And ultimately, he ended up here for that mission. He hung on a Roman cross and died so that we might have relationship with the Father. He removed the single biggest barrier that exists between God the Father and us, sin. And pretty brutal death, actually. And I want you to stop and think about this for a minute. This was at the heart of what he did. When I was preparing this sermon and I was getting ready and I was working through this bit, and it was like, oh, well, at least thank goodness he doesn't ask me to do. Oh, hang on a second. He said, take up the cross and follow me. Oops. Maybe for some of us, we do have, I mean, they don't do this anymore, thankfully. But there are plenty of other ways that you can be rather unpleasantly disposed of if you happen to be bringing the message of Jesus in the wrong place. And he does call us to go perhaps that far. In New Zealand at the moment, we don't have to do that, thankfully. At heart, this was what he was on about. But before he got here, before he got to the point where the Jewish authorities had realized he was, in fact, a complete and total threat to their power and their position, before he got to that, this is the most influential book I read when I was at theological college. Jürgen Moltmann, German theologian, The Crucified God. It's a phrase I have never, ever forgotten. Because this isn't some wandering Nazarene preacher, some vague person of history who existed a couple of thousand years ago. This is. Roman cross for me. It makes a difference when we personalize this event. Jesus didn't die on the cross to save humanity. He didn't die on the cross to save the world. Yes, that's what the scriptures tell us, and it's true, and it's what he did. Jesus hung on a Roman cross and died. And that's the place we need to get to with our faith. He did that for me. And we sing all these songs about all that stuff that he did. It's really great. But sometimes we're in the middle of singing those songs and we've got this we and our going on, and I'm just tempted to go, actually, actually, when we talk about this stuff, it impacts us differently when we get beyond our and we. So I remember when I was first a Christian, somebody who was doing a bit of discipling for me said, if you were the only person on earth, would Jesus still have come and died for you? And I went, well, probably not, I'm not really worth it. But the truth is, he would have. Because so, what does it mean for us to be contagious? We're going to, over the next few weeks, we're going to explore each of these aspects. We're going to hear from Ben Carswell, and we're going to hear from Andrew Royden, and we're going to hear from Keith Bourne over these topics, and then, unfortunately for you, you're going to have to hear from me again later on. But sharing our faith, that whole lot of, I want to take the evangelism word out of it. You know what, because actually I feel completely and totally uncomfortable with it, and I think that's really bad connotation. I'm going to take that out. I'm going to talk about sharing our faith, who we are, and the way we are come way before what we say. Sharing our faith isn't about what we say. It's about who we are. And when we think about that in the context of what we were just looking at, but the things that Jesus did, you won't know if people are hungry and sick unless actually first you get to know them. You won't know if people are feeling weighed down and hopeless unless first you get to know them. You won't know if people have been hurt or put off the church for some reason unless first you get to know them. Now the master teacher sneaks out just a little minute. Did you notice that? It's all about unless first you get to know them. So sharing our faith isn't about our message at all. It's about relationship. It's about whom we are and getting to know people. Not because they're targets or scalps or people that we have to... When we begin to see people as made in the image of God, people whom Jesus died for, then the way we relate to people changes. If these people were good enough for that, then they're good enough for me to take the time and energy and effort to get to know them. Not because I have to count up all of these people that I've shared my faith with. It's not about that. It's about bringing something of the presence of God into the relationship we have with people. You see, there's a saying, it's often attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, possibly incorrectly, but that's okay. At all times, preach the gospel. If necessary, use words. At all times, preach the gospel. And then he gets around to words, but only if necessary. Because preaching the gospel isn't as much about the words as it is about who we are and what we do. Because we are the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are that gospel way before we say anything. The final thing I want us to think about, and this is where I'm going to be a little bit controversial, and because I'm never controversial, of course. I'm going to be a little controversial this morning with this. I want to challenge the way we've thought traditionally about salvation. Because we've had this lifeboat image, and for me growing up, this was the predominant kind of image of salvation. You were either in the boat and good to go, or you were out of the boat and in serious trouble. And to get from out of the boat to in the boat, you had to get to the point of saying the sinner's prayer or reciting the three spiritual laws, or I never can't remember. Was it three? Are there three? Or, I don't know. Spiritual laws. Anyway, we had to do this stuff to get into the boat, and once we're in the boat, we're all good. Except that when I read the Gospels and I look at the ministry of Jesus Christ and the things that he did, I don't see or hear this model from Jesus. What I see and hear is this model. And some of you have probably heard me speak about the parable of the wheat and the weeds in the past. It's one of my favorite images. This is where my ecclesiology or my the theory of the church comes from. You see, the farmer, he plants the seed, and when the seed grows, the weeds appear. And his servants say to him, should we go and pull the weeds out? And Jesus' response, or the response of the farmer is, no, don't go and pull the weeds out, because when you do that, you might root up some of the wheat. In other words, in pulling out the weeds, you might rip out some of the good plants. At the end, when there's the harvest, then the Lord of the harvest will sort the wheat from the weeds. It's not our job to look for or create barriers, human and artificial, which tell people whether they're in or out. That's not our responsibility. It's not our responsibility to put all these things in people's place and say, you're not in the club, the boat, until you do this and this and this and this. Jesus tells us, actually, we just invite everybody in. It's like the parable of the wedding banquet. Just invite everybody in. That's our job. Just invite them in. Sorting them out at the end, that's Jesus' job. Because, you know, nobody was positively influenced in their relationship with God, well, not many, from outside. But when we bring them inside and we take away those barriers, make it safer for people, then God can do his work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says this, "What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his or her task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither the one who plants, nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." Our responsibility? To plant and water the seeds. The growth, that's God's job. And so when it comes to being contagious, to sharing our faith, it's not about worrying about the growth. It's about planting the seeds and watering the seeds, and letting God worry about what happens to them. You know, we've had this old model of salvation where it's all about sealing the deal, you know, getting them into the boat. Well, actually, I don't believe in that model. You see, this is the model of salvation that I ascribe to, because this is the model of salvation that I see Jesus talking about. It's about our orientation to the single biggest event in human history, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the central point in all of human history. Doesn't matter how many years there were before or after, that's irrelevant. This was the central moment in human history, the death and resurrection of the Son of God. And the question isn't whether you're in or out, you've done the prayers, you've done the whatever. The question is, how are you oriented towards this event? Are you like some of those arrows which are pointed away from the cross of Jesus Christ? Are people, do they have their back to the cross, their back to Jesus, and are they walking away? Or are they facing the cross and walking towards it? Walking towards Jesus. Because if they're doing that, doesn't matter if they're 10 metres, 10 miles, or 10,000 miles from the cross. They're on a journey with God if they're facing towards the cross. And if they do that, then at some point along that journey, or points along that journey, God's going to speak to them and ask them about various things and get them to do various things, because you will know that because you're on that journey and God's asked you to do various things and get them. But it's not our job to put all those things out there and tell him, it's time for you to do this, or you have to do that. That's God's job. Our job. Turn them around, face the cross, and journey with them. Or in the modern vernacular, to do life with them. That's our responsibility. We just do life with them. And because of who we are, we bring the presence of God into their lives. Because the scripture tells us, when we give our life to Jesus Christ, we are filled with the way of the Lord. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. And so when we go, wherever we go, and whoever we connect with and relate with, we bring something of the presence of God with us. We become Spirit of God, the presence of God, comes with us. So our responsibility is to make sure we're right in the best place we can be with God, and to go out and do life with people. To be contagious with our faith. That's our responsibility. We plant the seed, we water the seed, God gets the crop. It's not for us to determine where and when and how people make decisions or get to X points in their life. That's God's responsibility. And it makes the whole issue of sharing our faith feel so much less of an issue. It takes away the fear and the guilt and all that stuff, because we don't have to count up all the people that we've led to X point. It's not about gathering people. Father God, thank you that in the midst of all of the busyness and the hustle of life, we can stop and reflect on the fact that you, our awesome and amazing God, sent your Son Jesus to die for us. And because of that, we are different. And because of that, we have relationship with you. And we are so grateful. Thank you, God. Fill us anew with your Spirit this day. Pour out your Spirit into us. And help us, our Father, to be contagious in every situation that we go into. Amen. Thank you for coming.